Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, women of God. Good evening. I am your host for this evening, Minister Andrea Freeman, and I will be doing the teaching on tonight. And I would just like to say thank you for joining Warrior Women for God Blog Talk Radio show on this evening. We truly appreciate you because we recognize that you could be doing so many other things on this Thursday evening, but you chose to join us. And just for that, I am so grateful, and we celebrate you for being on the line tonight. So thank you. This evening, I'm just truly excited, and I just give all the glory, the honor, and the praise to God for allowing me another opportunity to minister to his daughters. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I hope that you all have been standing on God's promise. I pray that everything is going well with you and your family. Tonight, I am going to share a message, and I'm going to get right into it. And the message is going to be, I have been forsaken, and I have forgiven. But why, God? I have been forsaken, and I have forgiven. But why, God? And just before I get into the message, I'm going to say a brief prayer, and then we'll go right into the message because the message may be a little lengthy. I know we try to be respectful of time and end Bible study at 8:30, but it may go just about 5 minutes over at the most tonight. So, again, I appreciate you. I appreciate you making a sacrifice to get on and join us on this evening. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We humbly come before you, thanking you for this day, God. Thanking you for this hour, Lord, and thanking you for this very minute. We thank you for our very own lives, Lord, which we do not take for granted, God. Thank you for your patience, God, and your everlasting love. God, we ask that you just help us to come against any mind-binding spirits by casting down every stronghold in every area of our lives, Lord. The enemy tries to rise against us, Lord, and we ask that you just help us, God. We claim victory over every trick of the enemy, and we will win this battle, God. We claim victory in our minds, God. We're going to win the battles. Lord, we ask that you just give us rest, God, for we know that there'll be opposition, but you, with you, all things are possible, and we just claim rest, God. We claim Jesus' peace in the midst of our turmoil, God. Lord, we're going to trust you because we do trust you with all of our hearts, and we will lean not to our own understanding, God. Father, we know that you'll take care of us, God. We know that, and that all of our needs are going to be met. All of our needs in our homes, our jobs, our families, and our finances, God, will be met. We know that we shall have victory over the gates of hell. And Lord, we just want to say thank you in advance, God. Thank you, God, because we trust you, as we mentioned, God. We know that you are our rock, Lord. We know that you are our strength, God, and we're going to keep seeking your face, God. God, continue to take care of our families, God, and increase our faith, Lord. We trust you. We love you. We honor you, God, and we believe in you, God. We are standing on your promises, and we will continue to give you all the honor, glory, and praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Ladies, again, my message is going to be just a little over 30 minutes, but I want to share a very important message with you because this is a message that an issue that I had been struggling with, and the issue is forgiveness. And again, the message is, I have been forsaken, and I have forgiven, but why, God? Why? Have you ever questioned God? Why did it happen, God? I know what you're telling me, but why, and why me? Have you ever felt forsaken by someone that you really care about? Have you ever felt abandoned or deserted by someone that you really, really care about? Have you ever been betrayed or hurt by someone that you thought was your best friend? That's happened to me. Whether it was your sister, whether it was your spouse, whether it was your friend or your cousin, you consider this person to be your best friend. And you just couldn't seem to figure out why they've caused you so much grief or so much pain. And sometimes you just sit and you ask, why, God? Why? God, if you are a loving and powerful God, why? Why did you allow that to happen? I'm a good person. Why me? Well, tonight I'm going to be speaking from feelings of being forsaken by man, not God, because we know that God would never leave us or forsake us. But the thing is, we still question God. So that's what I'm going to speak on tonight. We know that we have to forgive, and in many cases, we thought we forgave, but why? We still can't figure out why. Just want to know why. We just want answers. Why would God allow us to suffer so much? So make sure that you have your pen and paper, because you'll learn something on tonight. Yes, there is a message, but you will be taught some things from this message. So make sure you please have your pen, your papers, and your Bibles already ready, because I'm going to try not to talk too fast, but I'm going to move quickly for the sake of time and just to be respectful of your time. And initially, I had actually spoke on this before to some extent, not as much as I'm going to talk about tonight. And I remember when I shared it, how I initially got the idea of this message is because one Thursday I was thinking of doing something else, and then it was like a couple of days before the message, I had received a phone call from a person that had, you know, at one time I really cared about this person. And I thought this person was my best friend. And I thought the person had really cared about me. But over time, I began to become unsure and I began to doubt it, because so many things started happening which caused me so much hurt and so many mixed feelings. And it came to a point where I just couldn't figure it out for a very long time. And I really resented this person. And the person called me, and again, this is what inspired it first time I talked about it, but I want to go a little more deeper with it, because I've been talking to people, and some people have been struggling with that, a lot of people, and it's hard. But I remember when that person, they had gave me a call a couple of days before I did the last time I talked about this issue. The person began to tell me about a dream that they had, and I was a part of this dream, and I was thinking in my mind, oh, goodness, I must have been cutting up. And that person was saying, they said, oh, no, you were really good. And I know that had to be God, because any dream that they had of me could have really been a nightmare, and I know. Yes, indeed, it could have been a nightmare. But as the person began to talk about other things, the phone call with the person showed me how much I had really grown in Christ, how much I really had grown in Christ, because based on what I was hearing and being told, that conversation would have been entirely different just a few years ago. In fact, it wouldn't have been good at all. But God, I think about God, and I just say, thank you, Lord, because I thank God for change of heart, change of mind, and just change. I just thank him. You see, the thoughts and feelings of resentment I used to have about this person, they no longer reside in me. And it's funny because something led them to call me and share things that they never would have before. Based on how I would have responded, they wouldn't have shared this before. But God obviously allowed them to see that I'm a new creature, and they felt comfortable sharing it. I mean, I really resented this person so much that every time that I felt they hurt me, I would say things that were just so bad. I mean, I would say some terrible things, not even realizing that the things I was saying were things that I was speaking into my own life. See, that's really bad when you think you're hurting someone else, but you're actually hurting yourself. That was me. Lord have mercy. You see, you start minimizing yourself and you don't even know it. You're just lowering your level in every area of your life, and you have no idea when you should be speaking life over yourself. And that is why we have to be careful with saying things that will break us down. We can't say things that will break us down. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. Sometimes we say things that we should never say. I'll give you a couple of examples here, because I've said a lot. What I'm going to say is I've said all of this, and that's why I'm going to give you the examples based on personal experience. These examples aren't based on what I heard. They're based on my own experience. Out of anger and frustration, I don't know if you have, but have you ever told someone, you're killing me? No. Don't you ever say that again. Don't speak that over your life. You're not killing me. You may kill yourself, but you're not killing me. I've said, I'm like, you know what? You're just killing me. No, 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 no. I have changed the way I speak because you're not killing me. You may kill yourself. And I've said things like, I can't live without you. Wait a minute. Oh, no, 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 no. Yes, I can. Just go on and leave up out of here and see when I'll be alive in the morning. Let the door hit you. Now, I don't want you to leave, but I can live without you. And it may be painful, but sometimes it's necessary. And remember, you got to think about it. I was living before I met you. I might be bent, but I'm not broken. And I will live. And we also say stuff like, you make me sick. And I like to remind people of this when I hear people say it. Stop saying it because we're speaking those things. And I'm like, oh, no, you don't make me sick. Don't even speak sick over me because I call myself healed in Jesus' name. Oh, no, buddy, I'm not sick. And stuff like, you drive me crazy. Oh, no, sir, you're not driving me crazy. I'm keeping my mind. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to need my mind again. No, 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 no. And I'm not letting you have my mind. Oh, no, absolutely not. I am keeping my mind because God has plans for my mind. And ladies, you may be creeping into your 40s and maybe even into your fantastic 50s. And you may not have accomplished everything you wished, but don't ever walk around saying stuff like, it's over for me. No, it's not. Don't let your spirit hear that. Don't let your body hear that. Oh, no, you better tell yourself, I'm just getting started. It's not over for you. Maybe I am 50, but I'm feeling like a teenager. Something's getting ready to turn around in my life. I'm in the first half of my life. It's not over, and the best is yet to come. Yes, you have to speak those things. When someone says, how are you today? Don't be walking around saying, well, I'm sick. I ain't feeling good today. Because all of a sudden your body and spirit are saying that you're sick. Well, and all of a sudden that melancholy stuff starts to sit down in your heart. Now, I'm not saying that you should deny what may be going on with you, but you must speak healing over yourself because the words have authority. And saying something like, I don't feel the best, but I'm claiming healing on today, don't that sound so much better than saying I'm sick and I'm depressed? Yes. James chapter 3, verses 2 to 8. I'm going to read all verses 2 to 8 in James. If you can't stay with me, make sure you jot it down so you can read it later. James chapter 3, verses 2 to 8 says, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn whether the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great force on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. See, be careful of what you're saying. You must say things like, I decree and declare that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. I decree and declare that what's in front of me is better than what's behind me. I decree and declare that my present dilemma is nothing more than a future testimony. I decree and declare that good things are coming my way. I speak right now that every assignment of the devil shall be halted by the Holy Ghost. Every single lady, every single one. It's okay that you're single. If you're single and you're in the will of God, You'll be blessed just because you are married to Jesus. Good God, Lord have mercy. You are married to Jesus, so you might be single, but you're married. You are married to Jesus. You are in a commitment or a relationship, and he's committed and in a relationship with you. You need to have the ability to break strongholds and elevate your thinking so that you can move to a new level in life. That's what you have to have. You have to have that ability. Once you have that ability, things won't even affect you the way they were. And in this season, God is going to have you forgive people that have broken, hurt, or mistreated you. Yes, he is. You see, the devil can't defeat a blood-bought power Holy Ghost, power baptized child of God, because you have angels. You have God the Son. You have God the Father. You have God the Holy Ghost working on the inside of you. So there's nothing he can do with you. The enemy doesn't have the power to defeat you. And he knows if it's him against the glory of God, he loses every time. He knows that he can't defeat you from the outside in. So he tries to go from the inside out by getting you to beat yourself down. And if he can do that, he doesn't have to worry about you. Satan is so afraid of you being in the will of God and loving other people versus being in your own will and resenting people. He's so afraid that he will cause rumors to go around. You hear what you think you heard and someone telling you what they thought someone else said. And all of a sudden, you know how that stuff goes. I did it for years. You're chasing rumors. And we all know how the rumors get started. They get started by jealous people. They get mad about something they heard that somebody else is holding. That's what the song says, but it's real. It's true. And there you are falling into the rumor mill because someone spoke about you or somebody said something about you. Is there anyone who disliked or resented someone because you heard they were talking about you? I know I've done that. You see, rather than lovingly addressing a person that hurt you, you heard talked about you, you just get other people involved in posse against the person and all this other stuff. Because we're so mad that we start saying all kinds of cool things to them, even as Christians. And I've been working on that for a long time, and I continue to work on it because I have no desire to continue to live a life like that. That's why Satan can't hold me down. Because I don't bind myself up with that foolery anymore. He stays in my face because he can't hold me down. And when we hear things that people have done or said that we think hurt us, we often retaliate with words. James chapter 3, verse 10, it says, and so blessing, and this is the New Living Translation as well. James chapter 3, verse 10. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Did you hear that? Blessings and curses. I did that for a long time. I'm blessing myself and cursing myself right out of my same old mouth. We've got to stop it. We get people to come against and defuse the situation instead of really trying to resolve it. We do. And we won't speak for years and years because we're hanging on to resentment and bitterness. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, and this is 1 John 4, verse 20, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. I didn't say it. It's in the scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So if you are still angry with the person that did you wrong 10 years ago and you say you love God, you are a liar. Again, those are not my words. That is the scripture. And I'm not saying it to be harsh. I'm saying it to help you because these are the realities that I had to face. I said, I'm a liar. I don't like this person. But guess what? How could I love God if I don't even love the person? It's up to the person to decide whether or not they love me, but I have to love them. And my point is that you never know how much of a turnaround God can do in a heart of someone who has caused you the most pain. He can turn things around. If you don't believe me, let me give you a case study on someone who was in a messed up position, someone who was totally out of God's will, and God turned them around. Case study is you. It's you. Look at what God did in your life and how he's changed you. Look at what God has did in your life and how he's changed how you think and how he's changed how you walk and how he's changed how you believe. I know the case study is definitely me, because this is not the person that I was. If God did it to you or he did it to me, he can do it to anyone. How soon do we forget? Mm-hmm. Yes, we do often forget. Really? But you remember back in the day when you were the first one to break the door of the club, right? Yeah, you got to remember that. You remember. You was in by 9, didn't get a free drink, and you was the first one to bust the doors down. You remember. You made it at 9. And there you were doing the butterfly, and you might have been doing it all by yourself. And that same Holy Ghost that raptured your life right in front of your enemy turns you around and transforms your thinking. That same one that did that is still the same Holy Ghost that is able to transform the life of anybody who has tried to hurt your spirit. Don't give up on them. Doesn't mean that you got to be aware of people that are harmful. Don't mean that you got to really trust them so much or ignore what they done. But just don't give up and don't hate them. You must speak life into that person, even if you don't want to. You don't have to want to. You're required to do it. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, "It is the spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Your flesh don't profit. You gotta understand this. And just thank God for delivering you. Because you know, to tell the truth, even if the person hadn't even hurt you, you could be dead right now, but you're alive. And maybe not everyone, but some of you were out, and y'all were out there on the edge. Maybe not everybody, getting ready to take your last step. And God wrapped his arms around you and loved you into a new level of submission, where you can come upon him and find out that grace and mercy were still available to you, even in the middle of your That's you. That's me. You must be forgiven. And yes, the Bible says to forgive, but you should not forgive just because the word says it or you feel obligated to forgive. If you do it for those reasons, you aren't really forgiven. Forgiveness must truly be in the heart. Let me tell you how you know when you're really forgiven someone. Let me just let you know how you really know. When you feel like a heavy weight has been lifted from your heart and mind, that's how I felt about certain people. I felt that heavy weight lift from my heart and mind. And you'll know that Jesus has taken the suffering and the pain away from you. See, Jesus died for forgiveness. Therefore, it's only through him that we can forgive, because we don't have the power to do it on our own. When we have forgiven, our attitudes change. We don't act the way we did when we were in pain. I don't act the way I acted when I was in pain. I can walk by somebody that can't stand me and I can be just as happy. Because you know what? That's not my problem. That's their problem. And I don't have any problem. And they don't ever have to ever, if they just strike up a conversation, you know what? I'm going to talk to them. It may sound stupid to somebody. How can you talk to such and such? They don't even like you. Well, guess what? I like them. It's okay. If your heart is not forgiving, you will never know the true meaning of loving someone and experiencing how loving someone really feels, because forgiveness is the way we treat others. And the forgiveness is love. We love others by our actions, not by our words. Forgiveness is the only way to rid the pain and suffering from your heart and your mind. And when you're trying to figure out whether or not you've truly forgiven a person, ask yourself, when I saw them, was the first thought that came to my mind about the injury that they caused me in my life? Now, if so, then you may not have really forgiven them. Now, ask yourself, would you genuinely care if you knew they were in trouble? Ask yourself, can you think positive thoughts about this person? Ask yourself, are you still having thoughts of getting even with the person? You can even ask yourself, are you still looking for them to fail? Now, Here's the big question. Why God? Big question is, why God, why? John chapter 16, verse 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. See, God said you'll have suffering. He didn't say that you might. He said it's going to happen. Yes, God generally allows suffering in our lives, your life and mine. We may not understand everything about it, but we can understand some things. First of all, God is not the creator of evil and suffering. No, he's not. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 says, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. Did you hear that? It was very good. Well, you might be asking, well, if God is not the author of tragedy or evil, author of tragedy or evil of death, where'd they come from? When God decided to create human beings, he wanted us to experience love. John chapter 13, verse 34, and this is the ESV version. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are the love, You also are to love one another. But to give, I can't get over the fact, you know, just to keep saying how much he loved us, to give us that ability to love. God had to give us free will to decide whether or not to love. That's why a lot of stuff happens. He had to give us free will to decide whether or not to love. Why? Because love always involves a choice. Think about this. Programmed to say, I love you, I love you, it wouldn't really be love, would it? For example, say your daughter has a doll with a string in the back. That's the same thing. And when you pull the string, the doll says, I love you, I love you. Does that mean that that doll really loves your daughter? Absolutely not. No, of course not. It was programmed to say those words. To really experience love, that doll would need to have been able to choose to love or not to love. Why? Because real love always involves a choice. Does that make sense? So in order for us to experience love, God bestowed on us free will. But unfortunately, we as humans have abused our free will by rejecting God and walking away from him. And that has resulted in the introduction of evil. There's moral evil and natural evil. Moral evil is the immorality, pain, suffering, and tragedy that comes because we choose to be selfish, we choose to be arrogant, uncaring, hateful, and abusive. I'm being real. That's me. I've been all those places. I thank God for deliverance. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That don't mean just the person that hurt you. That means you too. So much of the world's suffering results from the sinful action or inaction of ourselves and others. For example, let me give you an example of that. People look at a famine and wonder, where is God? But the truth is that the world produces enough food for each person to have 3,000 calories a day. It's our own irresponsibility and self-centeredness that prevent people from getting fed. In other words, look at your hand. You can choose to use that hand to hold a gun and shoot someone, or you can choose to use it and feed hungry people, right? It's your choice. It is. But it's unfair to shoot someone and then blame God for the existence of evil and suffering. Does that make sense? There's also natural evil. So that was moral evil, but there's also natural evil. Natural evil are the things like wildfires, earthquakes, tornadoes, and hurricanes. And the Bible says it's because of sin that nature was corrupted in thorns and thistles into the world. Chapter 8, verse 22 says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. In other words, nature longs for redemption to come and for things to be set right. So once more, let's make this clear. God did not create evil and suffering. It was human beings and our free will who brought evil into reality. So why are you asking God why? There's your answer. Why do they hurt? Why? That's your answer. People ask, well, couldn't God have foreseen all of this? Yes, and I'm sure he did. But look at it this way. If you are a parent, before you even had the child, you could foresee that there was a real possibility that your kid might suffer hurt, pain, disappointment, and even possibly hurt someone else or walk away from you, right? Of course you could. But you still had children, right? Why? Because you also knew that there was a potential and great meaning. That's why you still had children. Even though suffering isn't good, God can use it to accomplish good. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that in all things God worked for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, God doesn't, he doesn't make this promise to everyone, but he makes the solemn pledge that he will take the bad circumstances that befall us and cause good to emerge if we are committed to following him. If you're committed to God, he can and he will take whatever pain you're experiencing and draw something good from it. He can also use suffering to draw us to him, to mold and sharpen our character. I had to learn that, to influence others for him. He can do that. He is so patient with us. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance, and that is why he has to delay things out of his love for you. Now, I'm not minimizing pain and suffering, but Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Whew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That verse really makes my heart sing praises to God. It really does. And I may have had a few bad days, but when I look at the entire past 365 days, my days are good. My good days far outweigh my bad days, and those bad days all fade away. Pastor Rick Warren says, I love what he says. He says it best. He says, life is a series of problems. Either you're in one now, you're just coming out of one, or you're on your way into one. And this is so true. No, not everyone benefits from the suffering or learns from it, because that is up to us. It's up to our free will. We make the choice of either running away from God or running to God. No one else makes that choice for us. And maybe there's someone who didn't choose to benefit because they maybe feel like they're broken. Are you broken? Well, he was broken like bread for us. Are you despised? He was despised and rejected from men. Do you cry out that you can't take anymore? He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Did someone betray you? He was sold out. Are your most tender relationships broken? He loved and he was rejected. Did people turn from you? Well, guess what? They hid their faces from him as if he was a leper. No matter how deep our darkness, he is still deeper, no matter how. And finally, yes, you will suffer, but your sufferings are his suffering. And your sorrow is his sorrow. And if you just run into his arms, you'll find peace to deal with the present. You will find courage to deal with your future, and you will find the incredible promise of eternal life in heaven. So, ladies, I truly, truly say thank you on this evening, and I pray that this message was able to help someone, because I know that with my situation, forgiveness was key, and it wasn't to benefit anyone but my own self. So I truly pray that this message helps someone, and I want to give each of you an opportunity, if you like to speak, if you press 1, I could release your line so that you can speak. press one, I could release your line so that you could speak. And while I'm waiting to see if anyone would like to speak, I want to ask that you join us on Monday evenings as well for prayer. Minister Keisha Robinson is our prayer warrior. She is our prayer intercessor, and I mean she's amazing. We have received all types of messages, phone calls, texts, inbox, everything about how much their people's lives have been truly blessed, how much things have changed in relationships, friendships, at work, at home, everywhere, and with their health. So we thank God for Minister Keisha. And I ask that you join her and all of us on the line, but she is the prayer warrior, on Monday nights at 8 p.m. And the phone number is 712-432-3100. The code is 283302. Again, that's 712-432-3100. The code is 283302. And ladies, I don't see anyone that actually asked to speak. So I just want to say thank you so much. And please join us again next Thursday. Next Thursday, I am actually, normally Minister Erica and I alternate, but I'll actually be doing the message again next Thursday. So I really appreciate you. I thank you so much. I pray for each and every woman that's on the line, every woman that wasn't even on the line that normally joins us, any woman that wanted to join us. We thank God for each and every one of you. We appreciate your support. We love you. And I would love to hear you or see you again here next Thursday, same place, same time. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.